In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we're going to talk about, I'm being facetious, we're talking about sex addiction.
Hey, this is right up my alley.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's it'll be a little bit, I'll say sensitive in some ways, but I think it's important to talk about because it's a big issue out there. And plus, you know, we'll probably get a lot of listeners wanting to listen to this episode. I don't know why. It's crazy. But anyway, hang in there. And as usual, we're always giving away a bunch of free stuff. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist. We're here with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to you, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, and give Matt Fox, he's the other guy you hear, welcome back. He is a... He was buried in work last week.
You have no idea.
But glad to have you back, Matt.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
You add a lot to the show.
Aw, thanks.
You can add more today when talk about sex addiction, well, maybe, you know, but, you know, kind of, we'll see.
When you said, hey, this is what it is, I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, good for you.
Okay, if you say so.
We'll see. Anyway, we're here in the podcast Your Voice, Southfield Studios. It is a Monday evening. We're recording a podcast.
Yes, we are.
Having a little nip.
Oh, yeah,
which would
Monday.
Mean drink. So cheers, brother.
Cheers. Clink.
Yes, absolutely.
Clink.
And by the way, just for you people watching on Facebook Live, look at this tiny little bottle of Maker's Mark that was on the drink cart. I mean, I don't know how long they expect that to last, but not too long.
Must have been a 2-for-1 special.
maybe they got that free with a bowl of soup.
Soup, you say?
Soup.
No soup.
No soup for you. So thanks, folks, for checking in. Let me tell you where you can find me. My website is MotorCityHypnotist.com. So a heads up on websites. I know I mention this every so often, but we got big things happening behind the scenes with the Motor City Hypnotist website and the clinic website, Counseling and Therapy Associates. So you're going to see a lot of cool stuff coming up. It's in the works. We got it moving. I got to put some pieces together. But just be on the lookout for that, MotorCityHypnotist.com, and check that out. In a month, it'll be brand new. You'll love it.
Woohoo!
My social media, Facebook and YouTube, are both Motor City Hypnotist, and Twitter, Instagram, and the Snapchat are Motor City Hypno. That's HYPNO.
Hey, what do you call a bunch of hungry hip...
hungry hypnos? I don't know, you know
it
what the joke was.
It still cracks me up.
I know. I already know the punchline. I forgot what the joke was, but. So, and as usual, we're giving away a free hypnosis guide. Just grab that. It's always in the show notes. Just click on that link, download it, and enjoy. Yeah, it's all for you. So wherever you're listening, whatever platform you're on, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Joe's podcast platform, whatever it is, connect, like, join, subscribe, whatever it is on your platform so you don't miss a show. It'll
Correct.
Come right to your device without even being asked.
Well, okay. So if it's on, if you don't do any of those platforms.
Yes.
And you like Facebook.
Yeah.
Like the Facebook page.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the Facebook page. We're up around my Motor City Hypnotist Facebook pages. We're over 46,000 right now. So. Yeah, that's all. Just hop in there and like that.
Keep them coming.
And just check in with us every Monday evening as we record from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yep. You know what that
here
sounds
like?
Here
in the U.S.
You know what that sounds like? It's like you're pinky and I'm the brain. No, vice versa. What are we going to do tonight, Dave? The same thing we do every night, Matthew.
Oh, great Odin's raven.
Trying to take over the world.
So, yes, wherever you're listening, please connect and like, subscribe, all that, and leave a review. Reviews are great. I'm working right now just to get reviews for my Motor City Hypnotist Google page, mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm indexed in Google. And if you, for those of you out there who are listening, maybe you saw me at a fair. I did a bunch of fairs this summer. Or maybe you've seen a show somewhere else. Maybe you're in one of my, a lot of the high school shows that I've done throughout the area.
Sure.
Wherever, though, if you can jump onto my Google page and just leave a review there, because that's like the business part of it, and that would be great, too. But wherever you're at, leave a review for the podcast and also just for the Motor City Hypnotist. Mm. That would be fantastic.
Awesome. What's happening?
You know what's happening, Matt?
It's been a couple weeks.
How winning is done.
All right, hit me.
So I was not aware of this story, and I guess this has been around for years, and I'm trying to hide the headline from you because
right,
I don't want you to
it.
See it.
I haven't seen it.
So there's a dog in Seattle. His okay. name is Eclipse.
Sounds very grunge.
So Eclipse became a local celebrity when she was spotted taking the bus by herself to a nearby dog park. Eclipse learned how to ride the D-line all on her own when she took previous trips with her owner, Jeff Young.
Do you take biscuits for cash?
Her first trip started when Young took too long to finish a cigarette by his Queen Anne apartment, so Eclipse hopped aboard the bus before Young could join her. The Black Labrador Mastiff mix traveled all the way to Belltown, with Young following closely behind.
Do you know why this happened, Dave? Do you know how this happened? No one's going to mess with a dog that's that big,
right? Right, right. Since that day, she's made numerous trips to the park on her own, and local bus drivers even started to recognize the pooch when she climbed aboard.
Oh, my gosh.
People on the bus, now they look for her, Young told Today in 2015. So this has been a while
ago.
It
has been, yeah.
She really makes their day. If I showed up without her, people are like, hi, where's Eclipse? According to NBC affiliate, Eclipse would even have her own bus pass attached to her collar. She gets along with everyone and she smiles, Young's girlfriend Lauren Campbell told Today. It's a really distinct smile and it's really cute. So here's the sad part of the story.
Okay.
Eclipse passed away.
Aw.
Yeah.
Why you got to bring me down like that?
I know. The official Twitter account of the King County Metro confirmed her death when they shared a photo of Eclipse in what appeared to be a dog park.
I was going to say, was she hit by a bus? Sorry.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
My bad. That was terrible.
Oh, that out like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
Eclipse was super sweet, world-famous bus-riding dog and true Seattle icon, the account shared on Friday, October 14th. Hmm. You brought joy and happiness to everyone and showed us all that good dogs belong on the bus. So Eclipse, I guess it's been happening for years. Eclipse, she knew when to get on the bus,
right.
And she knew the stop. She would look out the window and know it was her stop and get off the bus.
You're talking about schedules, and that's something that we've talked about on the show before. Is
absolutely.
Set a schedule,
set a
right?
schedule, right.
Dogs set their own schedule,
mm-hmm.
right? Our dog at home, 5:30 a.m., feed me,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Eclipse. The bus will be here at 10 a.m.
Yep. He knew where and Eclipse would get on. She would ride to her stop. She would get off, enjoy her time at the park, get back on the bus, and go home.
Right.
Yeah.
She could smell the entire
So way. If there's a link in the show notes for this story. It is sad Eclipse passed away. But she has her own Facebook page.
Okay.
And her own Twitter account. And there's a lot of videos. In fact, there's tons of YouTube videos of her just getting on the bus. She would walk and everybody would pet her.
My gosh.
She would sit and wait and look out the window. And then she would get off the bus. It's like like a hairy person.
Right. But the name is fitting. Eclipse, big dog.
Yeah.
Blacked out the sun. Yeah.
And she was black too. So, yeah. So anyway, it is kind of a sad story. But I was just so impressed on, I've never heard of her. I mean,
I'd never heard of her.
I want to hear of a dog riding the bus every day by themselves, mm-hmm. you know? I typically I would be like
What in blazes are you talking about?
But yeah, that this dog did it.
Yeah.
So rest in peace, Eclipse.
Yeah, thank you. For
and for bringing smiles to a lot of people in the Seattle area.
That's such a grunge story, especially coming out of Seattle.
It is, yeah.
It really is.
I wonder if Eclipse listened to Nirvana.
Or Soundgarden, or Temple of the Dog, yeah, or Pearl Jam.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, definitely. Eclipse is our winner of the week.
That's how winning is done.
Well, thank you for that.
Yes, and poor Eclipse.
So, back to it.
He didn't die like that. She didn't die like that. I'll tell you that.
Jeez, man.
He has a brain like a chicken.
It does
after
now.
That,
yeah.
Yeah, right.
I love you, Maggie.
Oh, boy. So this episode is brought to you by Counseling and Therapy Associates. We're an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located here in the Detroit area in Taylor, Michigan. The great thing is, since the pandemic has hit and the world has changed, telehealth has become the new thing.
It has.
It is for medical reasons, and studies have shown that telehealth therapy is just as effective as in-person therapy for treating most psychological issues.
Most.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest reasons why telehealth works so well mm-hmm. is because the patient doesn't have to leave their home and schedule their issues around their schedule.
Yeah, well,
it makes it easier on them, right?
It definitely makes it easy, especially those people who suffer from anxiety mm-hmm. and driving and mm-hmm. traveling and being in crowds and in waiting rooms. And it does make things a lot more convenient. And it cuts down on travel time, too, because you figure if you have an appointment, you really, the appointment is our 55 minute hour.
Right.
But you have to schedule at least half hour, 45 minutes on either side for travel.
Right.
So it has been, it's been great for people. They love it. Like, I would say more than 90% of our clients love telehealth.
Yeah.
They just prefer it. Mm-hmm. So the good news is with Counseling and Therapy Associates, we have a staff of 11 therapists. And if you reside in Michigan, you can take advantage of our services. Now, if you're out of state, licensed, because everybody here is licensed in Michigan, so you'd right. have to reside in Michigan to be able to take advantage of our services. But if you live in Michigan, wherever it is in Michigan, you can take advantage of it. So visit counselingandtherapyassociates.com. There's a link right on the front page that you can submit your information without even talking to anyone.
Hmm.
We will look it over, verify your insurance, and we can have you scheduled sometimes the next day.
Wow.
So if you're interested in therapy for whatever reason, look us up, counselingandtherapyassociates.com.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So
back to it.
What are we going to beat now, Dave?
Good for you.
We're talking about sex addiction today, folks. That's what we're talking about.
You opened the door.
I did. I opened the door, and it's you know.
And you know me.
Sexy time.
There we go.
Yeah. So I'm gonna read you some facts, and some of these may or may not surprise you.
Okay.
But these are facts about sex addiction. 21 million Americans are sex addicts.
I've only met two of them.
The percentage of Americans who are addicted to sex has risen from 3% in 1990 to 6.4% in 2022, which meaning that an estimated 21,164,422 Americans live as sex addicts.
Okay. What is, and help me define sex addict.
Yep, we're going to get into that definition in
okay.
a bit.
Go on.
2 out of 3 sex addicts are men. That's okay. kind of understandable.
And they're all in their teens.
No, or their 50s, or 57 to be exact.
Or 47 to be exact on this side of the table.
Great Odin's Raven.
Go on.
93% of sex addicts also suffer from a porn addiction.
See, that is something that I'm curious to know about because mm-hmm. it's at your fingertips, unfortunately.
Yep.
And there's so much crap.
It's so accessible now. And that's the big thing. I mean, And folks, we're going to be blunt about some of these things. Yeah. So this show's rated it's mature anyway, yeah. Because we talk about a lot of serious issues and we, you know, we say things like,
the fuck are you yeah.
right.
doing?
So this is not for kids. So yeah. if you're a kid, don't listen.
And gone are the days of having to watch the TV.
I mean, yeah, back when we were teenagers, you had to go find a book or a magazine.
Right.
You know, we couldn't wait for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue to come out.
Or 2 a.m. on Cinemax, and as the TV is going sideways,
yeah, as a TV
squiggly lines.
Yeah, and if you could adjust it just right, you could get a picture for about 10 seconds.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Hedgehog, how you doing?
But, I mean, it is. It's so much more accessible right now. Mm-hmm. One out of three men self-report that they feel addicted to porn.
Yeah.
98% of sex addicts with a partner feel rejected by their partner.
Repeat that?
98% of sex addicts with a partner feel rejected by their partner.
Okay.
So a lot of times when I'm going off of the information that other emotions come into play. If you're a sex addict, you're probably feeling depressed or abandoned or mm-hmm. isolated mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. lonely or mm-hmm. humiliated in some way in your current relationship.
Okay.
Unfortunate side effects of being a sex addict. 40% of sex addicts have an STD. Mm-hmm. More specifically, 38% of men and 45% of women with sex addictions have a venereal disease at any given time.
Wow.
Yeah. Only 5% of addicts who go into rehab recover from the addiction.
Only
now,
5.
Think about that. The recovery rate for sex addiction is only 5% after going into treatment.
And those would be priests and nuns.
Never mind. I'm not going to say it. It doesn't mean that 95% relapse, but a lot of addicts learn to live with the addiction.
All right.
It just doesn't go away.
It's in moderation.
72% of sex addicts relapse in under 6 months after rehab.
What is a relapse of a sex addict?
Having sex.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm just saying like,
well, you don't have to be abstinent.
No,
right?
No. But see, that's the whole thing. And I know this is a terrible analogy, but I'll relate it back to food and diet.
Okay.
A lot of people are overeaters. And when I work with a lot of clients, especially with hypnosis, mm-hmm. if it's something like smoking, we can just eliminate it. Mm-hmm. Food, you can't eliminate it.
No, because you need the nourishment.
Because you need that. Yeah. Sex, you can't eliminate it. I mean, you could, but that's not an ideal. And especially if you're in a committed relationship,
right.
that should be part of that healthy relationship. Mm. So you can't really say, don't ever have sex again.
Right.
Because that's not going to happen.
You can't have sex.
You
can only make love.
When do you think sexual addiction was first diagnosed?
1862.
Oh, way off.
Oh, yeah?
1983.
Oh, that's bull.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bunch of bull.
It was first diagnosed in 1983 by Patrick Carnes in his publication Out of the Shadows, Understanding Sexual Addiction, which was released by Hazelden Publishing.
Jeez, all right.
Mm-hmm. In 1993, the American Psychiatric Association removed sexual addiction as a diagnosis.
Okay.
So they took it out in 93. It was reintroduced back into the DSM, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, to mm-hmm. make diagnoses of specific mental illnesses. It was put back in 2014 with the DSM-4.
So what happened between 93 and 2014?
I guess you're just having fun. Yeah, it's not an addiction at that point.
All right.
80% of women with a sex-addicted male partner suffer symptoms of depression. Understandable.
Yes.
80, and here's where a lot of the terrible history comes in. Mm-hmm. 81% of sex addicts were sexually abused as children. That has a big influence on your views of sexuality as an adult.
And of yourself.
Yeah, and of yourself. Absolutely. This one, I don't know why they put this in. 94% of sex addicts have filmed themselves having sex.
Wow. You know? I want to see my big white butt flapping in the air.
Oh, da-da-da-da, like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
I mean,
it's just one of those things. It's crazy. Yeah, 94% have filmed themselves having sex. Yeah. 3 out of 5 sex addicts self-report to post naked photos of themselves online on a regular basis.
Wow.
And see, and that's a thing that's come up, too, with the advent of cell phones and posting and social media and Snapchat and direct messaging and FaceTime. And it's all taken, a lot of that is taking the place of interpersonal relationships face-to-face.
Yeah.
And it just becomes, you know, I mean, look at OnlyFans and these, you know, and anybody can do an OnlyFans and make money by just getting naked. It's crazy, you know.
But they won't catch a venereal or STD.
Well, that's true. That's the safe part of that. You know, and that could be their full-time job.
And it may not even be that person.
Unless they're not good at it.
Clean out your desk. You're gone.
Only, here's an interesting one. It makes sense. I shouldn't say it's interesting. Only 2% of sex addicts have never had a one-night stand. So 98% of sex addicts have had one-night stands.
Okay.
That, which, again, makes sense.
So if you've had a one-night stand, does that make you a sex addict?
No, not necessarily.
All right.
Male sex addicts have, on average, had 32 sexual partners.
Over how many years?
Doesn't matter.
Days?
Yeah.
Weeks?
I mean, maybe in a day.
Hours?
No, you've got to take everything off the table.
I don't know why, but yeah, right. It's crazy. And here's an interesting one. And here's where the deception in relationships comes in. 74% of sex addicts self-report to lead a double life and lie on a regular basis.
Okay.
Which would make sense. If you're in a relationship and you're a sex addict, you're having sex with other people.
Oh, okay.
You're going to be, of course, you're going to lie about it and you're going to lead a double life.
I thought that was deleting browser history.
Okay. I mean, well, that too. But I've been seeing clients for 30 years, and you'd be surprised at the number of people who I've seen who are married or in a committed relationship and constantly see other people and don't they keep it a secret.
It's like an open marriage almost, or an open
relationship? No, because the partner doesn't know.
Oh, the partner. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in both ways, men, the male and female.
Huh.
I've seen it both ways. And I always joke with my wife. I'm like, you know, while it sounds fun and all, I don't want to have to deal with somebody else all the time either. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in a relationship, that takes up enough time and effort. I don't want to have to put effort into anything else.
Well, we've only used about 3% of our total brain.
Well, I mean,
anyway.
You know, I'd just be too lazy to. I'd be like, nah, it's just too much work. It's not worth it. 4 out of 10 women report to withdraw their emotional connections to a sex-addicted partner.
Well,
that totally makes sense.
That should go both ways.
Right, it should. But if you know your partner is a sex addict, you kind of just...
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're probably going to pull back. Yeah. Female sex addicts report to have had 22 sexual partners on average.
Okay.
So again, more for men, a little less for females. Mm. Here's an interesting one, which would make a little bit of sense. 38% of sex addicts also had an anxiety disorder.
Mm.
40%, and I'll add some other co-occurring disorders here. 40% displayed symptoms of substance abuse. 72% displayed symptoms of depression. 23% displayed symptoms of bipolar disorder.
Wow, geez.
Well, and I can understand, those of you who don't know what bipolar disorder is, it's also termed manic depression. It's a condition where your mood fluctuates from deep depressions to periods of mania. Now, it can lean one way or another. It can be primarily depression, primarily mania. But what happens when you're in a manic stage is that you often engage in risky behaviors, unprotected sex, sex with strangers, shoplifting, things that would be dangerous, and self-sabotaging. So I understand that would probably lead to that.
Okay.
Children of households where parents displayed addictive behavior are 22 times more likely to become sexually addicted later in life.
Hmm.
So if your kids witness it or see it or know about it, they're more likely to have it happen to them too.
Wow.
So here's an interesting thing. There are 8 specialized sexual addiction treatment centers in the United States.
Only 8.
2 of 8 are located in Florida. Don't know why. I mean,
that's a fun statistic.
I don't want to think about that.
Well, where do our a lot of folks go when they retire?
Florida,
right? And aren't the older folks randy?
Well, here's another interesting thing that I've done that I've learned throughout my years and reading and research, not in person research, but most swingers. Mm-hmm. What do you think the average age is for swinger couples?
I'd have to say 60s.
Yeah. Mid 50s to upper 60s.
Maybe they've been
because they're established. They've been in relationships a long time. They're just looking to try to do something new. Spice it up a little bit. Hmm. So that makes sense that one would be in Florida. Mm-hmm. Texas, California, New York, Mississippi, Nevada, and Massachusetts.
All right.
I don't know what the one in Mississippi is like. Sorry for you Mississippians who are listening.
I'm going to bite my tongue.
21% of sex addicts suffer from ADHD.
Huh. That would make sense.
So those are facts. And a lot of them, again, could have been surprising. Maybe they weren't surprising. Who knows? It's just some information on it.
Squirrel.
So back to the demographics a little bit.
Okay.
And we mentioned childhood trauma in one of those things that I read, and there's a strong correlation between that. And I'm going to go and separate it a little bit. In a study that was done of sex addicts, 72% were physically abused as children, not sexually, physically.
Physically.
81% were sexually abused. 97% were emotionally abused.
Wow.
So it doesn't have to be a sexual abuse as a child. It could be any type of abuse would make you more likely to have a sex addiction.
Hmm.
Now, we talked about sex and porn. We talked about porn a little bit. Sex and porn addiction, they often almost always go hand in hand. Many people with sex addiction turn to porn to kind of satisfy their desires.
Right. Because it's so accessible.
Right. And then it leads from that into taking that next step where, okay, I've looked at the porn. Now I want to do it in person. Mm-hmm. I want to find somebody in person. So that's, it just, they're connected and it causes things that will lead to that next step. It's like an addiction. If you get something and you want more, then it goes higher and higher.
Right.
You want more and more.
And porn kind of, I'm 47. Have I seen porn? Yes, right? But what I've learned about is that gives somebody a self-image of what to expect.
Absolutely.
And that's where that next step comes in. Oh, I'm going to go and do this, and this is going to be like just like this.
Well, and the problem when you're younger, I mean, as adults, we can logically know that what we see in porn is not reality.
Right.
That's not real life. But somebody who's 12 and seeing it for the first time, that becomes their image of what sex should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes problems later in life when you're in real relationships.
Yes.
And that's a problem. So we're going to get in. I know we're close here, but we're going to define, and I'm going to give you some specific things that you can do. As we move into next episode, we're going to do sex addiction part two.
Okay.
In case you didn't get enough on part one.
Well, that's
what are you people on dope?
No, they're on sex.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're on sex.
Yeah.
So I know that we've been ending our episodes with some animals.
Yes. Who
this
is
has
it?
Nothing to do with sex addiction, by
Good.
The way.
Good. Thank goodness. Yes. Thank you for the disclaimer.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, thank you.
What in blazes are you talking about?
Who we got?
So our animal for adoption this week from the Detroit Animal Rescue is Mars.
Aw.
It is a domestic short hair cat.
Oh, look at her.
It's a little kitty.
She's adorable.
Those of you on Facebook Live, you can see it on your screen right now.
I love the paw. She's got socks. She's
yes.
Like white paws and
yes.
black. Oh, that's
yep,
great.
Look at that. And those of you listening to audio, go find the Facebook page and watch it. Watch the recording. You can see Mars. She's a domestic short hair, neutered male. It's a man.
Ah, little boy.
Doesn't know. It's unknown if she's dog or cat friendly. So if you have other pets, just beware.
Right.
She is definitely kid friendly though.
All right.
So Mars is available if you want to pick up this little kitty. Aww. He is at the Detroit Animal Shelter.
Thanks for that.
And I'll leave the link in the show notes if you ever are interested in one of these animals, because they need a good home. So
I like that you do that.
Thank to Mars.
Yep.
All right, folks, we're going to be back with Sex Addiction Part 2. Don't miss it. Those of you on Facebook Live, stick around. We'll be right back. Those listening to audio, you can jump ahead to the next episode. If it's not there yet, it will be on Tuesday or Thursday. All right, folks. Totally forgot my line.
Change your thinking.
Change your thinking. Change your life. Laugh hard. Run fast. Be kind. I had sex on the brain. We'll see you next time.